Welcome to the Lab Up Leaders series, a showcase of global change agents and experts in healthcare and laboratory management. Here's your host, Lab Up Global Founder, Robert Farias.
We'd like to welcome Isaac Ofosu to the Lab Up Global Leaders podcast. Isaac, nice to meet you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You?
Well, thank you. Isaac, can we get started by you sharing a little bit about the organization that you you preside over?
The name of the organization, the association, the Federation of Ghana Medical Laboratory Students Associations, and of which I'm the president. And it's currently made up of about 25 tertiary institutions within the country. The student base is currently from first years or the freshest to the final years, and even those that are doing their internship, that is those that have graduated and are on the field doing their 1 year internship before they write their license exam. And so the membership is that before you write your license exam, you're still part of the student association. And our main objective is to unite all medical students within the nation and even across countries. And then that it also promotes the practice of the medical laboratory profession nationally and globally, because we believe that the products of the medical laboratory students within this country wouldn't probably be working only in this country. But I mean, some of the students will have interest in working and advancing their knowledge and their education in other countries. And so we try our best to also provide them with extracurricular activities that would enrich them in terms of their knowledge and in terms of skill development, with which we talk about the research. And so we do have some research programs that we do. And then we also do have some career opportunity programs that we also do, just to let our students, to build the connection between the outside world and the students as well.
Okay. So Isaac, just to clarify that, so you said there's about 25 tertiary institutions. Does that imply that you're covering degree holders as well as diploma holders, or is the focus specifically on degree holders?
Sure. So currently we do have the diploma, we do have the degree, and we do have this Doctor of Medical Laboratory signed. And so we do cover all, so far as the program is a medical laboratory science related, we do cover it.
Okay. And Isaac, so next question for you again is that, so from a volume of members, how many people roughly does that represent, the 25 tertiary institutions?
So currently, sincerely, we do not have a specific database. That is one thing that our administration is working on to develop a registration portal, which would enable us to get actual data annually to be updated every. But then, we estimate to have about 5,000 membership currently. But once we're able to get the online portal, registration portal ready, with which probably we're hoping to get that done before the close of this month, we will now have a definite figure indicating the membership status of the Federation.
So does the association function based on chapters or regions? How is it set up at the moment, Isaac?
Sure. So talking about the 25 member institutions, that is how it is. We have the National Federation, the association, and in every institution, there is a chapter association, what we call the member association. And so every institution actually joins the federation through the member association. And the member association comprises all the medical laboratory students within that particular institution.
I see, okay, great. So Isaac, can you help us understand the types of events or activities that the Federation would engage in on an annual basis on behalf of students or for students?
Okay, so on annual basis, we do have a program that we termed the Annual Labpreneur Summit. That is Annual Laboratory Entrepreneur and we've conjoined it to form the Labpreneur. And so this is to educate the students, motivate, to inspire, and also to train them in terms of management, in terms of entrepreneurial, I mean, when it comes to the space of business, how they will be able to, in fact, sometimes to even bring up innovative ideas, and then also how they will be able to turn these ideas into making them a reality, that is to say, to making them a business arena or a business, a business entity. And so we also do, within this Labpreneur Summit, we also do train them in terms of how to manage their finances and how to be able to lead the business to grow. Aside that, we do also have annual research programs where we train the students in terms of proposal writing, in terms of data analysis, and any the other aspects of research, just to also drive the interest of students into research and into how they should also take their final year project very serious, because we believe that now it is research that is leading the world. Everything that we discover probably more or mostly comes by research. So students need to be very serious when it comes to the aspect of research. Aside that, we also do have career summits or career training, where we also educate the students on the outside world, where the laboratory, medical laboratory profession could lead them to, the various or the other fields that they could explore with the medical laboratory profession. That is to say, as medical laboratory scientists, you are not just supposed to end up in a clinical laboratory, but there are other fields that you could end up in. And so that is what the Career Summit is about. And then we do have screening project that is community outreach projects. And so let me say, recently in February on the Vals Day, we had a screening at the Kumasi Central Prison, and that was for the inmates and then the officers of the Kumasi Central Prison. And we also had another one at Tema Community One Site 7. It was a primary school. It was collaboration with DRP, that is Distance Related Project. It was also a screening. I mean, we led or championed the screening, the health screening aspect of that, the whole project. They termed it Feeding Our Relatives. And so we championed the aspect of having organizing a screening, a health screening for the adults and even the children that were within the community. And so basically, these are some of the activities that we do have.
Great. Okay. So Isaac, what is the potential job market like for those who graduate from the program? So in some countries, it seems that there is a bit of a limited volume of entrants acceptable into the school programs. And therefore, obviously, that increases the likelihood that they're in full employment once they graduate. In other countries, we know that there's a bit of a variance where it's a bit more of a private market in terms of the academic opportunities. So therefore, there's a much higher volume of students graduating each year than the exact specific employment. What's the situation like in Ghana these days?
There has been two waves of employment which have had to employ medical laboratory scientists or graduates even as far as 1998. And that has made the number of the unemployed currently quite fewer than before. And so now those that are unemployed as it stands are probably those who are about to or who have gotten or who got their allied health profession license this year, and those who are about to get. And then the very few that were unable to make it through the just ended employment scheme that happened, and that was in just last year. And so currently, let me say, for a bunch of the medical laboratory scientists are on the government, and then the others are also in the private sector. We do also have some of our colleagues who are in with some, let me say, international organizations, international companies such as SysMex, such as BadTech, and Metropolis, Lancet. And so And then also we do have some medical laboratory scientists who work with the Food and Drugs Authority and other fields as well. But then comparing those in the government sector and in the private sector to the other fields, you realize that the government sector has a very huge number of them. Then it follows by the private sector. The rest are very, very minimal. But for now, what it indicates is that once you are graduating and after getting your license, you are hopeful that the government is going to post you, unless, of course, you don't want to work in the government, in any of the government facilities. And then probably maybe you would want to stick to the private, or you want to be on your own, or probably want to continue your education. We do also have some of our colleagues in the research facilities. Serving as research assistants and that, yeah.
Great, okay. So there's quite a few different scenarios happening at the same time, and it sounds like things are picking up as well based on some of the recent government programs. So that's great to hear. So Isaac, let's discuss yourself a little bit. What was your motivation to enter the medical laboratory science programs?
Oh, actually, it's been such, I would say it's been more or less like a miracle for me to have been in the medical laboratory profession. As like many others, initially the medical laboratory was probably not our first choice, but when I entered into it with my first clinical attachment that I embarked on, I got to realize that it's basically whatever thing I've ever dreamt of, because way back from, from primary, from the junior high school, I got to love science because of how it is, because of the experimentations that it comes with it and how you observe things. You observe the nature and all that. And so when I happened to be medical laboratory and I went on a clinical attachment and I realized that, whatever we talk about science, we talk about experimentation, we talk about observation, we talk about deriving conclusions and inferences, actually is in this particular profession. And I get to do, or I get to exhibit the passion that I have for this particular profession, because I like whatever thing that is there. And so, for me, it's been more or less like a miracle for me to have appeared in the medical laboratory profession.
Yeah. So last thing, Isaac, I'd like to leave you with is that, so I understand there are some upcoming events that are being organized, that are being organized across several countries on the continent at the moment, and even expecting to have some international audiences. Is there anything you'd like to share about some upcoming events you're participating in?
Sure. So let me say, our colleagues in Nigeria are actually leading the organization of an international scientific conference, which is actually going to be virtually. We in Ghana here also have two major programs upcoming, one which is the Career, which is probably which is to be held in June, and then our annual General Congress, which is actually fused with an international scientific conference, an in-person aspect, which also probably will come off either July or September. We're not certain with the date yet due to the changes in the various academic calendars from the various institutions. And so we're working on that to get a unique date, or a date that will favor most of the institutions for that. So basically, those are the two major programs ahead of us.
Great. Well, thank you very much for sharing your time with us today, Isaac, and for helping inform our audience about what your association does and the opportunities that seem to exist in the Ghana side for those in the medical laboratory science world. And look forward to following your progress and speak to you again sometime down the road.
All right. Thank you very much for also having me on this show. I'm so, so grateful.
To make a suggestion of someone that would make a great guest or topic you would like to hear more about, please visit us at labop.org. That's labopp.org.